soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro de Madrid.
Soccer Matters, Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into the second hour of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Now, you noticed that the Dynamo had opened up this past weekend. We've spoken about it with that 0-0 draw against Real Salt Lake. Well, during the pregame show that we do, I had an opportunity to catch up with Dynamo owner Ted Siegel. This all ahead of the news that has broken today from multiple sources that Hector Herrera, the Mexican international, is coming to Houston. So here's the interview I did with Ted Siegel. This was prior to the Dynamo Real Salt Lake game. This was on AT&T Sportsnet South. This is presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
Ted, thanks very much for coming on. You're putting your money where your mouth is. You've added some very critical and important positions to the club.
That's right. I think when we came in here, we realized that there's a lot of work to do, both on and off the pitch. And I think with the bringing in of Pat and bringing in of Asher, bringing in of Jessica, I think we have some good cornerstones. And, of course, don't forget Coach Nagamura as well. So I'm optimistic about this season ahead.
All right. So as I talked to you, it was about 8 months ago. It was a little bit hotter the last time you and I met, but you had just taken the team over. So if you look now forward here 8 months through your lens, outside of just the signings you made, what are some of the things you have seen?
So I've seen what I knew going in, which is this is the passionate soccer city that we know it is. We can hear the supporters in the section up here in their new safe standing, and we're excited about them and share their optimism, and we have a new pitch zone behind us, and so we are just trying to deliver to this city what they expect and what we want them to have.
What else have you learned about the club and about maybe getting to that soccer community that's really kind of hardcore, that has been a bit elusive? Let's be fair.
I think they have high expectations, and so do we. So we share their desire to put together a winning side, and so we're doing our best to do that.
All right, so that takes me into the obvious next question. Fans want to know about players. You've made some very good signings here. The biggest spend in history was Sebas Ferreira transfer and combined salary. We're hearing rumors about other big names, including Hector Herrera. Is there more spend coming when it comes to players?
The short answer is yes. And I know Pat has been a guest on your shows, and he's confirmed that as well, that we still know that we have positions that we can enhance, and we have work to do. And so all I can say is stay tuned.
Ted, yesterday we all watched a ton of Major League Soccer. There were 9 games, 27 goals, an average of 3 goals a game. We want a bunch for the Dynamo here tonight, but that was a great entree into today and being here at PNC Stadium.
I couldn't agree more. Yesterday was a great showcase for MLS, and we're trying to do our part here. I know the fans are doing their part to put on a showcase for the rest of the league and show them how it's done here in Houston.
Yeah, I wanted to take you into some of your stadium renovations, because I think sometimes the fan base doesn't realize adding a technical director position, that's a spend. Adding a new president to the women's side with the Houston Dash, that's a spend. And this is very big spend here with these two renovations you made in stadium. Just talk a little bit more about that, because this is part of an overall spend from you as an owner. And I think sometimes we forget that because the fans just look at players.
Sure. And so what we were trying to do with what we've already done at the stadium is listen to our fans, hear what they've been wanting for a long time, and something that I know our supporters have been wanting for a long time is safe standing. It's in a lot of stadiums, it's kind of the standard now. And so we were just bringing that section of the stadium up to standard. Behind us in the pitch zone is just a different, varied offering to give fans a different experience into how to experience the game. And we're in the midst of analyzing other things that we can do around the stadium to give fans additional options.
Anything you could share? Or
So we're going to be having some conversations tomorrow going through some of the architect's proposals. I do think that if we can do some things around some of the stadium entrances to, again, enhance the fan experience, get them more integrated both inside and outside the stadium, some things that we can do on the east side, these are some of the things that we're considering.
All right, from the competitive standpoint, the under-23 team, and I'm so grateful that under-23 team is here and not 6 hours away as an RGV, as a reserve team. This is a critical piece for the Houston Dynamo to gain back some of the youth soccer community. What more do you have plan-wise for the youth community and really trying to create a better relationship?
I know that that is a priority of our technical staff. I know that, Pat has made that one of his priorities. I know that he is out there trying to foster the ties, and I know that he has a lot more that he can add on that topic. But a priority of ours is internal development, and we know that we can't have quality internal development without the buy-in and support of our community.
So it was a big thanks to Ted Siegel for doing that interview on the pregame show on AT&T Sportsnet. That was this past Sunday, and you notice he hinted at the big signing. So important to have an owner that is out front, engaged, transparent, and is proving to the public that he wants to turn this thing around. This is exciting with Hector Herrera, and a big thank you to Ted Siegel for making himself available. Also to Brock Jessel for getting this over to Andrew Carlson so that we could get this on the radio show here tonight. It's always good to hear from the owner. All right, we'll take a break. Really, really interesting interview coming up. Peter Vermees, the head coach of Sporting Kansas City. This is one you're not going to want to miss.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Hi, Jan Christensen from Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture with the Soccer Matters Danish Dynamite segment. Yes, a big week for Christian Eriksen. On Saturday, he came in as a sub in the second half against Newcastle for the first time in 259 days after a hard road to recovery with an ICE operating to his heart. He managed to play about 30 minutes and showed some flashes of his old brilliance, and very exciting for Christian Eriksen and of course for Denmark, where he hopefully will be get better and better and come to the World Cup in Qatar. And also it was a very, very nice to see how all the Brentford supporters, all the Newcastle supporters stood up and clapped him onto the field, and even the Newcastle players stopped and clapped. So that was a big moment because I think everybody was touched by that 259 days ago. And it was wonderful to see Christian in action again. In the Danish Super League, FC Copenhagen won 2-0 and FC Midtjylland tied 2-2. So FC Copenhagen is now 3 points ahead, but there's still a long way to go in Superliga. And I don't think any of the two teams performed very well as I watched both games, but maybe we get spoiled from watching the other leagues. Anyway, and of course, a dark moment this week with Russia invading Ukraine. And I wish the Ukrainian people all the best, and my prayers are with them. And I have to honor UEFA for once, because they excluded Russia to come to the World Cup, and they excluded all Russian teams to play in any of the UEFA tournaments, such as Champions League, etc. So for once, I can honor them, because normally I don't think very highly of UEFA, but this time they even canceled the Gazprom, Russian gas company money contract sponsorship for about $50 million, as far as I know. So that was big, and I was happy about that, and I pray for the Ukrainian people. And at Danish Inspirations, we are doing some remodeling, and we'll have some great floor samples for 20 to 50% off, because we need to make room for new arrivals. So come on into Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture on Fondren. We are red, we are white, we are Danish dynamite.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We roll on the second game of the Major League Soccer season coming up for the Houston Dynamo. They will go on the road to the ever and always difficult Sporting Kansas City. Before we get to our next guest, real quick hit here for our presenting sponsor, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Give them a call, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. They'll take your case. Most importantly, they're getting soccer on the airwaves here as well. So when you need that representation 24-7, it's John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Great guest of the show for many, many years. And consider him a friend. He is the head coach of Sporting Kansas City, Peter Vermes. He joins us now. Peter, how are you?
I'm doing well, Glenn. Buddy, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for a short notice jump on here. We really appreciate it. Gives great insight to the game for both sides. I'll just start off with just maybe getting your initial impressions on the opener in Atlanta, a very difficult opener, quite frankly.
Yeah, you know, I think it's always the same, right? You try to evaluate it in its entirety. We actually did a lot of good things in the game. Physically, we're actually really good. You know, we made a couple mistakes, and I think those mistakes were really for being more overzealous than the opposite, right? It was not for a lack of trying. It was really being a little bit, caught in the moment. And that is first game of the season, away from home, great environment there in Atlanta. Atlanta played, you know, they played well. You can't say they, it was all our fault. They did some good things. They took advantage of some things where we made some mistakes. And so, but it's first game of the season. And, you know, as I told the guys, the worst thing is that my goal of going undefeated this year is over. So now we gotta get after it.
Peter Vermes joining us, the head coach of Sporting Kansas City, ahead of an afternoon game this Saturday in Kansas City. You know, is that what it's coming down to now in a lot of ways, the teams that are mistake-free? I mean, there is so much pressing going on now and aggression. And is a lot of it just managing mistakes and trying to avoid them?
Well, I think what you're trying to do is you're trying to avoid, making mistakes where you can control them, right? I mean, when a team beats you because of a good build-up play or a good run of play or what have you, sometimes you just got to say, hey, you know, we're going to get beat here and there. But, you know, if you give the ball away in a very easy situation, when your team's open, those are the things that you're trying to avoid, right? It's things like that, or things that, you know, maybe you're unbalanced or you were impatient because you're getting into a different way of playing or what have you. Those are the things you're trying to avoid. But, you know, the game is the game still. It's still a soccer game. You have to be able to attack. You have to be able to defend. You have to be good on set pieces on both sides of the ball. And at the end, you also got to make sure that you're playing to what your strengths are. And I think sometimes, you know, the game can get away from you. And I just think when you're early on in the season, and you're trying to indoctrinate new people into your team, that's another thing that you're trying to deal with. All at the same time, you're still trying to get a result. And, you know, I credit Atlanta for taking advantage of the situations that they had and, you know, sticking them away, where we clearly had a few chances in that game, but, you know, we didn't stick them away. And that's also the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah, we don't want to overanalyze it. It is one game of the year, but certainly it's a good measuring stick now. It's fun. What's the biggest change in your mind? You might have just mentioned one of them, indoctrinating new personnel. But are there other big changes for you this year or things that are maybe a little different?
Yeah, I think, you know, somebody asked me this question the other day similarly, but I'll say this. I think, you know, a word that I use a lot is evolve or evolution. I think a person in my position who's been around for a long time at the same place, if I'm not evolving, I'm going to get really stale really quickly with the guys that I have here, number one. The other is that The team's always changing. In a salary cap world, whether you're in soccer, basketball, baseball, football, we have that in our leagues, in all of our leagues here in the sports landscape that we have. And salary cap can be a huge pressure point on your team constantly changing. So you have to have a way to also evolve with the players that you bring in thereafter. And as our game is the world's game, and we're competing for the most important thing, and that is players on a global basis. You have to be able to evolve your system based on the players that you have. So the challenges for us this year, I think, are more centered around immigration. So many players are being brought in, but they're not here they weren't here in a timely fashion that you could use preseason to kind of adapt and adjust and get them indoctrinated in the things that you do. So now we got to use the season. And so that, I think it's a big challenge for us. I also think the other thing too is the league's always getting better. Teams are getting better, and you have to constantly be evolving to be able to still compete with everybody in this league. And that's not an easy thing to do.
Head coach of Sporting Kansas City, he's Peter Vermes. Knowing you from all the way back to the late 80s, I look at your achievements, and I remember at those times, and as you got into 2002-03, people starting to, or into the 90s, excuse me, early 90s, people going, one day, we're going to see these guys that are playing. They're going to get into positions of influence and power here, and are going to really have an influence on the game in this country. This is something you certainly have. You certainly have on the sporting in the market that you're in. Back to evolving, what are your checkpoints? In other words, even me as a commentator have to look at the evolving, changing game. I got to challenge myself in different ways so that I don't flatline either or mainline. How do you do that?
So I have a few trusted people that aren't involved at Sporting and aren't involved with any other MLS team that I check with pretty regularly to find out what their opinions are about our team from the outside. Do they see some holes? What are those holes? What's their evaluation of individual players? Because sometimes you can get, really narrowly focused on what you do. And I really don't want to be that person with the blinders on. I also think that you also then have something that they don't have. You have intimate knowledge, what it's like to be with your team, your players, your staff inside the white lines. That's a different world. And the only people that get to feel that are the ones that are in there together. And so you've got to be able to take sort of that outside perspective and that inside perspective that you have. And, I try to tell players, if you're going to be successful, the first thing you have to be is you have to be self-aware. The second thing is you have to be able to self-evaluate or assess. And then the third is you have to be able to self-correct. And you have to be humble in that process. And so I try to practice what it is that I preach. And I'm constantly doing that. And I'm doing that game to game. I'm doing that year to year. And I'm definitely using a lot of resources that are around me.
He's Peter Vermes, head coach of Sporting Kansas City. How big of a blow has it been losing Alan Pulido for this season, because such an exceptional striker?
Yeah, he is. He's one of those guys that, how do you replace that? You don't, right? Yeah. You get, when he gets back, that's how you fix that. And as we talked about it, being a salary cap world doesn't make it easy to try to go out and replace that guy. So it's just not going to happen. So we're going to have to do it in different ways. I believe in the guys that we have here. Like I said, we've added some other guys just not here yet. When they get here, that's going to be a help. All of that's going to be a help in the right direction. So we're not going to replace them. We'll just have to do it a different way.
Peter, are those players that are signed that are out in the public that you can comment on? Or could you comment on one or two of them?
Yeah, the other day, he came into the game to Sones. He came in, but he's had really no time with us at all. I mean, he just got here this past week. And then, for us, because the weather was so bad, we were training at the Chiefs indoor facility the whole week. And that's not what we really wanted to do, but we had to do it. And so he didn't really get a lot of time with it. And the other is we have a striker coming in. His name is Vojunovic. He's a striker that, is going to help us for sure. He's got good movement. We just need another person in the team at the moment, and we're probably going to be looking for another one. So It's time, you know, and everybody hates that word in sports, you know, but I know in this league, one of the things you got to do is you got to stay competitive and you got to keep yourself in the mix. And then somewhere along the line, you make your strike and you get yourself in the dance. And that's what you do.
Peter Vermees joining us, home opener. I got to think people are just jumping through the roof, getting ready for this thing on Saturday. I mean, you're probably going to have to pull your players down a notch, right? Do you have to do that sometimes?
Yeah, you do. And I think that was part of, you know, our problem in Atlanta. The guys were excited about the opportunity. They're going to be the same way here at home. But, you know, the 12th man can be very important. It's usually important all the time. Sorry about mm-hmm. that. I didn't realize okay. that.
You can answer it if you want. That'd be good radio, you know?
No. But I guess the way that I would say it is that you can use that to your advantage, and it also can be a disadvantage. I think I have a lot of experience in my team that they'll learn from this past weekend, and I don't think they'll make the same mistake twice.
For you, when you look at this environment at home that you go in, and I mean, I see this on TV. I've had the good fortune of calling some games there. It's just an electric, amazing atmosphere to know that you get that game in and game out. I mean, that's not a luxury that every team in this league can say they have. I mean, do you guys appreciate that on a daily basis, or how does that work?
No, it's a great question. I do, and I make sure that I make that known on a regular basis with our staff and obviously with our players. You said it's a privilege to be able to walk into that stadium and know that you have the kind of commitment from, you know, I wouldn't even call it a fan base, from our cult following, if you will. I mean, that is an incredible commitment. And the way that you repay that is that you're not going to win every game, but what you have to make sure that you do is that when the game is finished, that you can at least say that every guy on your team left his heart out on the field for that game. And the fans will appreciate that. And that's really our mantra.
Well, look, I mean, you guys had an off year one year. You didn't get in the playoffs in recent times. You didn't lose any fans. The loyalty remained. And I assume that's because every day, this type of feeling that you have and the fan base is never taken for granted.
Everybody here everybody here, the players that are come in, they're explained before they come in what the project here is. You know, it's not like, you know, we built a house and the house is done, right? We're constantly, you know, trying to build on the foundation that we have. And we're not resting on our laurels. We always want to be better. But the one thing that we have to make sure that we always maintain is a high work ethic. When it comes to the way that we present ourselves inside our stadium.
Peter, let's talk about one of your former staff members you've worked closely with, Paulo Nagamura, head coach of Houston. Houston coming in for your home opener. What can you say about Paulo? I know you did, you know, really wish him the best of luck when he left Sporting, but what can you say about him and kind of going up against one of your former staff members?
Great person, first and foremost. Just a class guy. Had a tremendous career here as a player, was nothing but an incredible professional afterwards in his service here as a staff member. I mean, I can't say enough about him. I know this, tomorrow's his birthday. I'll text him and wish him a happy birthday. He's just a great guy, and I really do, believe in him. I believed him when I got him as a player. And I also, you know, I spoke to him when he was on that verge. He didn't know which way he was going to go. And I spoke to him about his after career. And he's been somebody that I believe has listened and learned and is humble. He's a great guy. His guys on his staff, obviously Chris Martinez and Jimmy Nielsen. Those are guys that have been here. I played with Chris Martinez in Colorado. Jimmy obviously was my player as well. Jimmy was working here this past year in a different capacity. So, you know, I love those guys. Great guys. And they're going to do well. They will figure it out. They will, They know what this league it takes to do the business in this league. But as I said before, the hardest thing about this business is time. The question is, are people willing to provide the time and, more importantly, really spend the time to pay attention and see if there's growth within the team? That's the important piece.
Peter, I look at you and look, if you had never been a professional soccer player and I was strictly judging you on your coaching career and, you know, being the architect at Sporting and doing the things that you have done at all levels, by the way, not just coaching the team, but creating an ideology and a culture and everything else, I would say this guy is 100% successful. I'm thinking along the line, you hit a point where, hey, I'm not worried about putting videos up of myself playing the game or what I've achieved as a player, because your mindset to me always seems so driven in the moment. The job that you're doing now, it's not about the past for you. Past is nice to revisit, but.
Yeah, it can't be. It's a great way to say it, because, you know, look, the worst thing I think you can do as a coach is sit there and say, hey, you know, when I played, this is what, hey, I'm not playing. And it's not during my time. It's their time. I say this all the time, and I truly mean this. This isn't my team. I am just incredibly fortunate and privileged to be the steward of this position in this club at the moment in the capacity that I am. I don't take it for granted. It's why there's so many people on our staff that have been here for a long time and have been consistent people here, because they believe the same thing. And it's not easy staying at some place for a long time, right? You yourself could get bored with it. I'm not bored, because I see the project. I understand the project. My vision is directly connected to it. And there's so much work always to be done. And if you're, you know, the other thing is, look, you can't take this piece out of it. I love competing. When I was a player, I love the everyday getting ready for the opponent and then trying to go and just, you know, excuse me, but kick their ass.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that anymore. I can't get on the field and play, but at least I can prepare a group to try and go and do that. I also have an immense amount of respect for the others that are doing it, because I know the ups and downs, when I go home, it's not like when I leave here, I go home and I'm like, oh, okay, let me just go hang out. And, you know, I'm thinking about every single facet of this club 24/7. It's just on my mind all the time. I'm not complaining about that. It's the life that I enjoy. It's what I love doing. And so the way that I look at it is, the people that I'm around, I want to be around people that have the same ideas. Not people that are yes people. I'm talking about the same people, the same drive, the same achievement for success. I want to be around overachievers. I want to be around high performers, because, you know, look, there's a stat. High performers, high achievers, they put out about 400% more than people that are just working at the same company. 400% more. So my question would be is, why do we spend all this time trying to get the people that don't overachieve? Why are we spending our time with them? I want to spend my time with the people that want to be something, want to achieve, right? I mean, an example would be, is, I have this fear of failure, right? I do. I have a fear of failure. But I have a bigger fear of not trying. So I'm going after it. I'm going to go try. I'm going to fail. I know I am at times, but my fear is not trying. So it outweighs the fear of failure. So I'm going to go try and I'm going to go after it. And I'm going to try to do it with the people that also want to do that same thing. And that's not just staff members, but that's players as well. That's why I've had very strong and still have very strong personality players in my team, because I still believe that if you're going to find success in winning at the end of the season, it's going to be because you have guys with really strong personalities. Weak personalities, they break. Strong ones, they bend, but they come back, man, and they help you win in the big moments.
Peter Vermees, one or two quick more questions, Peter, and then we're going to go. You're a hard charger. You're a hard driver. You basically said it there. You're intense. You want intense people around you. Has your cup ever gotten so full that, you know, look, everybody breaks down at some point a little bit, or hits a dip in the, you know, a dip in the road. Has that ever happened to you where you had to kind of regenerate and just kind of, I mean, I almost find it hard to think you ever took a break from the game.
I think this is now my 14th year of being both the GM and the coach, right? So it's 14 years straight. So I haven't taken a break from that perspective. What I try to do is at the end of the season, I will say during this COVID time, it was really difficult because what I try to do is I try to get out of Kansas City at the end of the season. Obviously, this is my home, and I've been here for now 22, going on 23 years, I guess, or 22 years. I try to get away and get someplace where I'm not in this routine of coming here every day. But, you know, you can ask my wife. I mean, we went this year, I think, 3 or 4 weeks or whatever. We went to Florida at the end of the season. And, you know, I'm on the phone every day. I'm working every day. I take some time there. You know, we go to the beach, we do whatever. We have a, you know, we're fortunate to have a good spot that we go to, but I'm in it because it, again, it's what I love to do. And I don't know what else. I mean, I couldn't be a person right now, at least at this phase of my life. There's no way that I could not be in it like I am.
Yeah. You're not, I don't see you as a guy one day sipping Mai Tais on a beach. That's for sure.
Yeah. I don't think I can do that. Well, I could do it maybe for a couple of days, but not more than that.
All right. Last one before I get you going, because I've always wanted to ask you this and I've never asked you. Obviously I was a commentator when you were with Kansas City, you know, Kerry Zavagnin, and you and him, great teammates, longtime assistant for you, Zoran as well. How do you keep those guys happy? Because these guys have been a part of a successful team with you. Big part. What is it that makes them tick? And how do you keep that staff together? Because these are guys in their own right that who knows, at some point might have wanted to be a head coach. May still. I don't know.
It's a really good question. I'm going to answer from my perspective, not theirs, because they may have a different take, but I'd like to think it's a couple things. One is, we got together when I became the interim coach here. I brought Kerry was already on the staff here. I asked Z to come in. I had a little bit of a connection with Z. I got to know him a little bit and just thought that kind of our ideas about the game connected. And I love the fact that he had, you know, I think he had 14 years of head coach experience. I've always felt that one of my biggest strengths was centered around knowing people and, you know, knowing what they're about and always trying to fill my holes, if you will, right? Just trying to find ways where I had a void or maybe I wasn't experienced enough or didn't know something as well to find somebody that was better than me. And that never scared me. It doesn't scare me, right? I mean, we're not all great at everything and we have to find people that are, and then what you do is you allow them to actually do that, right? You don't get intimidated by it. So I think I've provided those guys with an environment where they can be themselves and they can use what their qualities are to help us be successful. So they have a lot of input for sure. I think the other is that, I think in our business, and you can remember this when you're even a player, I think as a player, and I also believe this as a staff member because I've, you know, traveled to the other side, you're always searching for a home, right? You want to find the place where you can say, you know, because when you're in your home, you feel you're most comfortable, right? You can let your guard down. You can be yourself. You can say what you want. You're in your house. I think we're all searching for that in professional sports business because it's such a mercenary sport, you know, a mercenary job. Like you're a hired gun, you do your job, you don't do your job, you're out, you go somewhere else and you try to get another job. I believe all of us have found our home. You can't see it because of the backdrop I have right now, but I have a saying in my office, and the saying is really simple, and that is, I am too busy worried about how green my grass is to worry about if yours is greener than mine. And I think you have to also be willing to know when you found a good place and stop searching and be focused on the place that you're at. And I always, and I'll leave you with this last piece. And that is, I love ambitious people, right? I think you have to have ambition, right? You have to want, you know, something more than you have today because it drives you on. But you also have to be so careful of ambition at the same time, because I know guys that they're an easy example would be this. You're an assistant and you want to be the head, and you're so focused on being the head that you forget about being an assistant. And what happens is that you now lose your job as the assistant and you have no way of now becoming the head. And so you have the experiences of what it's to be an assistant and learn all those pieces of that job that someday when you get the head are going to allow you to actually be successful when you get there, because you've gotten all that experience to get there. And I think that's a lot of people forget that in their pursuit of their ambition. They forget about doing the best they can at the job that they're at, because that's eventually going to get you the success that you want once you get to where you're going to be.
Wise words to end the interview. There's nothing else that needs to be said. Peter, thank you so much for your time. Best of luck this season. It's always real fun to do interviews with you, quite frankly, because I just love your transparency and the things you have to say. So thank you very much.
Glenn, always a privilege and a pleasure to be with you, buddy. I think about our years of being on the bus together, traveling. So good times, pal. So good talking to you.
100%. Keep it going. Peter, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Thank you.
All right. That's Peter Vermees. We'll take a break. That was all brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Philosophical, going deep. Some really good messages in there from Peter Vermees.
Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Okay, this is the final segment of Soccer Matters here tonight on ESPN 97.5. And this is probably the most important segment of the night. Before we get to it, just a quick word here for our presenting sponsor, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. Look, we don't get soccer talk on the radio without John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm allowing us to go into the Houston soccer community like we're about to go in with John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. You just hit them up at DaspitLaw.com or give them a call. They're bilingual, 713-322-HURT, 713-322-HURT. A big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Okay, our next guest, longtime great friend of mine, longtime contributor to the Houston soccer community, was a professional soccer player with the Houston Hotshots, who played back in the Summit in the days of indoor soccer. He has been a long time the technical director heading up the Dynamo Soccer Club. It's dynamosoccer.com. They're out in the Cy Fair area. And for 18 years, selflessly, they have done a clinic with all the proceeds going back to pediatric cancer awareness. And they'll do it again this year. They do it on behalf of one of their former executives and a tremendous contributor to the soccer community, Joe B. Napier. We bring in now my good friend, Olivier Finidori. Olivier, thank you for coming on.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
It's a long way from back in the days running on the artificial surface of the Summit for you.
Oh, it sure has. It sure has. Many, many years, unfortunately. We're getting old.
All right. So let's get to what is... been a big piece of community work for your youth soccer club, Dynamo Soccer Club, out in the Cy Fair area. It is the Kick Cancer Soccer Clinic. It's going to be this March 20th, 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock, Dias Park. All the proceeds are going to go to Snowdrop Foundation, Texas Children's Hospital. This is for curing pediatric cancer, scholarships. You know, you guys have been incredibly dedicated. From my heart, I certainly thank you. And so does everybody at Texas Children's and in the world of creating awareness for pediatric cancer. Why has this been such a big piece of work for your soccer club?
Well, Glenn, first off, you've been the force that's been driving us, that's been inspiring us, all the efforts you've put in this event since, like we were just talking about, I think it was 2005 when you began. And, you know, obviously, all of us have had experiences with, you know, people that we've known, family members or kids that have been through our programs, other programs, and their stories have just been inspiring us. It's just such a horrible disease. And, you know, that is something that the whole entire soccer community wants to support. And we're definitely very driven to continue to do that for many years to come.
So it's more than soccer, right? Your soccer club, when you look at these young people that are the children of adults, when they come into your soccer club, it's more than just the game of soccer, right?
Of course. Of course. Soccer is just the vehicle that we're using to go and get the word out, to go ahead and hopefully expand the exposure. So everybody really gets behind this idea.
You go to dynamosoccer.com. So DYNAMOS, plural, dynamosoccer.com, register. You don't have to be in Olivier's club, the Dynamo Soccer Club, but we want people from there, obviously, and youth players from there. But whoever you are, come and join us, because we're really coming together on behalf of pediatric cancer patients and people that are suffering through things a lot more serious than maybe some of us. I can certainly speak for myself. From that standpoint. All right. We'll have pro players coming out there. I'm going to definitely be out there. We got a lot of really good surprises. We'll have some cancer survivors speak on behalf of some of the things they've gone through in order to educate some of the young people that are going to be out there participating in the camp. Your staff has been excellent, though, and I want to make sure I say thank you to your staff over all these years. Tell us a little bit about your staff and their connection to this.
Well, obviously, yes, I really do believe that we have a wonderful staff. There's obviously a lot of great staff in throughout the whole Houston area, for sure, with all the great clubs that we have. But with the Dynamos, we have a bit of a different identity. And those guys that work with the Dynamos, they're not just excellent trainers. They're the type of people who just absolutely adore children. And they, you know, they're obviously very, very, how do you say, it's a very sensitive topic for us. Marty Espinosa, which was our technical director many years ago, unfortunately passed away from cancer. It has basically scarred us but it's really touched us. And, you know, we still carry his name on the back of our jerseys every weekend when our teams take on the field. He will say Marty's team. So that is something that as a club, obviously, our whole entire staff is really, really driven behind this idea, behind this concept, and behind the Kick Cancer Camp.
And Marty Espinosa played soccer here in Houston, was a tremendous trainer, influenced a lot of young kids. It's wonderful how you've kept his memory alive through pediatric cancer awareness. Will the big man, Roland Sickinger, who used to play for the NASL Hurricanes and the Houston Dynamos in the 80s, will he be there?
Well, that's the plan. I believe he was talking about he may have a Hall of Fame conflict in Milwaukee, because obviously Roland's big time, right?
Yeah.
But no, he definitely wants to be there. Right now, he looks like it's going to work out to where he should be there. And I want to mention also, like you said, you don't have to be part of the Dynamo Soccer Club to join in, because this is not a Dynamo's event. This is a Kick Cancer Camp event. It's all about the children. And we're probably going to have guest trainers from other clubs that they will come and help us.
Yeah.
So this is not a Dynamos event at all. So it's open to everybody. If those that are that want to help out with this project, you know, and the players cannot attend, they can still sign up. They can still make a donation, because again, all the profits go straight to Texas Children's Hospital and Snowdrop Foundation. So we want everybody to go and participate in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, big thank you to Trish Klein, Snowdrop Foundation, also Andrew Kopelski, who are helping push this. SG1 is going to do this as well with Alex Parra. So we're building it back up. We had a time where we had a ton of clubs doing this, and we're going to hope in the future we can build it up even more. But a big piece is awareness. That's why we brought you on here tonight, Olivier. If we look at the session that's going to occur, it's about 3 hours. Take us into some of the things you want to do that day with you soccer players. And by the way, there's going to be some pros coming out there. My TV partner, Eddie Robinson, is going to come out, probably bring a few of his MLS rings from winning championships. So it's going to be a lot of fun. But take us into the couple hours of training, because there is a real element of just making sure we have a really good time out there.
That is really what it is. I mean, you know, you've been at the camp every year. You know, it's just a great atmosphere. The people that you're able to bring in, some of our friends, cancer survivors. You know, it's really a unique moment. It's hard to go and explain. But for example, I'll tell you as a coach. You know, we know that if we get all these kids in front of us and we talk to them for 30 seconds, you pretty much have lost them. You've lost their attention. But for the kid cancer camp, everything changes. When you have someone like Freddie that, you know, that comes and start talking, Eileen Dowd, you know, that been part of this project as well. When they start talking, I mean, you know, we get 50 to 100 kids and just their eyes and ears are just glued on those people because their stories are so inspiring and so touching. So basically, yes, we'll have the training, you know, we'll keep everything on the light side. We'll keep it fun. A lot of small study games, but everything, all the instruction will still be by top-notch professional trainers. But we take some breaks so everybody gets to know everybody, all the guests, the pro players, you know, some of the pro coaches that are in the area that will come and talk, as well as the cancer survivors. It just makes it a very, very unique afternoon.
Yeah, I got a guest list, so I got a couple of ones that I can't announce yet, but I think are going to come through that are going to be coming out. So we're really looking forward to that. Again, it's dynamosoccer.com. You go there. You can sign up, register for this event. You can donate. We would love for you to do that. This is different in a way because this is very organic in nature. This has all been started by people like Olivier who are in the soccer community who want to do this event strictly from the soccer community's perspective. You know, we're not here promoting any specific thing except pediatric cancer awareness. We're using the vehicles that we can to try and get that awareness. And we're trying to use this radio show to promote and get you to come and sign up and be a part of this. It's very inexpensive. It's a tremendous uplifting day. And I think it's one where there's a lot of realization from both parents and kids alone. I think the parents it's a nice quick moment just to remind yourself that you have healthy children and you're fortunate maybe to be where you are.
For sure.
Olivier Finidori joining us. He heads up Cyfair Dynamos, dynamosoccer.com. It's Sunday, March 20th, 3 to 6 o'clock at Dias Park. It benefits the Snowdrop Foundation, a 501c charity. It's a 3-hour clinic from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Head over, please, to dynamosoccer.com. SG1 will be doing this as well. We mentioned with Alex Parra. Olivier, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate everything you guys do for pediatric cancer awareness at Cyfair Dynamo Soccer Club. Anything you want to tell people before we go?
First off, always a pleasure to be on the air with you, Glenn. And really, I know you don't like to say those things, so I will say because it's important to me that everybody really understands that you have been the force. And I just really want to thank you for all you're doing for those kids and what you've been doing for the last, 17 years now. A lot of people don't know that you're the one driving us to go and get this going. So I want to thank you for that. And I really want to go and encourage everybody to just come and join us. It's a great moment. It's a great cause. And no matter where you are, what club, what location in Houston, if you're far from Dias Park, then join the SG1 event in Katy. But let's all get behind this. It's such an important cause, and those children need us. So let's go and step up to the plate.
Can't put it any better than that. We all want to see you out there. We're looking forward to mixing with you. If you're Dynamo fans also, we would love for you to bring your kids. International soccer fans, it doesn't matter. Whoever you are, come on out. You're going to be welcomed with open arms. We're going to do this together. DynamoSoccer.com, that's where you sign up. Olivier, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We appreciate 18 years doing this straight. That's a pretty phenomenal effort and something to really be proud of at Dynamo's Soccer Club. Again, dynamosoccer.com. Thank you, Olivier.
Thanks, Glenn.
All right. That does it tonight for Soccer Matters. We went out in a big, big way here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Again, get out to the Kick Cancer Soccer Clinic, dynamosoccer.com. John Daspit, Daspit Law Firm, our presenting sponsor. Big thank you to them, producer Andrew Carlson. You will get the podcast of this show at ESPN975.com. Hope you enjoyed it. Give us a like. Hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, at Glenn Davis Sock, at Soccer Matters GD. All that stuff is important for helping to promote this show and to keep us on the air. Good night, everyone.
ESPN 97.5.